sir?
It's Richard Ramos.
Okay, Mr. Ramos. Who's Mr. Ramos? Okay, the Honorable Miss Rittenhouse will conduct your hearing, sir. So just hold on to the phone.
Mr. Ramos.
Yeah.
Could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
It's Richard Ramos, 169-175.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the two allegations that are listed on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing by signing a form, and I see that you signed it on March 7th. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay, and on that form is a list of your hearing rights. One of your rights is you can hire an attorney at your expense to represent you, or you can represent yourself. Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
All right, thank you, sir. I'd like to introduce you to the board members. You can't see us, but we have in the room, we have the Honorable Louis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal. We have our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White. We have the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today. Also with us in the room is Mr. Oliveri, who will represent the Department of Corrections and your parole officer in today's hearing. So, Mr. Ramos and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do, and at this time, the department would like to request an amendment to the warrant.
Okay.
The conditions of supervision date of February 20th of 2018 is inaccurate. We're requesting that the correct date of February 7th of 2018.
And Mr. Albert, where is that on the conditions of supervision?
The bottom of the warrant.
Oh, I see. Conditions, February 20th, 2018, and it needs to be what? I'm sorry?
February 7th of 2018.
7th. Okay.
And then also the assigned parole officer, Murray, Keonte Murray, will be on her way now to participate in this hearing.
Okay. All right. And do we know how far away she is, or?
She's approximately 10 to 15 minutes away right now.
Okay. So should we proceed slowly, or?
Sure.
I don't know. But we don't want to just wait for 10 minutes, so. Okay. So Mr. Ramos, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. And in phase one, we determine if the conditions of supervision were violated, and then phase two, determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one of your hearing, I will read each one of these two allegations to you, and I need you to tell me if they're true or false, sir. If you believe they're false, then we'll take testimony from Mr. Oliveri, and the board will make the final determination as to whether you violated your conditions. Does that make sense to you, sir? Do you understand the process?
Yes.
Okay, good. We'll go ahead and start phase one of your hearing. And the first allegation on your warrant is that you were in violation of condition number 4, as demonstrated by your being unsuccessfully discharged from the VIVRE Residential Community Behavior Modification Program on February 17th, 2018. Mr. Ramos, is this true or false?
Yes, it's true.
This is true? Okay. And then the other allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 5, as demonstrated by your possession of an 8-inch knife with a 4-inch fixed blade, a dangerous or deadly weapon, on or about February 20th, 2018, in Maricopa County, Arizona. Mr. Ramos, is this true or false?
Yes, it's true.
This is true? Okay. Based on Mr. Ramos's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or may have lapsed into Criminal Laser Company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay. So motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. And Mr. Ramos, just give me a moment, please, to mark something I need to mark on your paperwork. Okay, and then we'll go into phase two of your hearing, Mr. Ramos, and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we move on, Mr. Oliveri is going to give us some background information about your case. So just stay on the phone, and we'll be back with you in just a moment, sir. Mr. Oliveri.
Federal Olmos was released from the Department of Corrections on November 15th of 2017. He was arrested in office on February 20th of 2018, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He has 0 days abscond. His supervision end date will be on May 30th of 2018. Current conviction, 2014, aggravated robbery, 4 years. Prior convictions, 2000, criminal trespass, first degree, 1 year. 2000, discharge of a firearm in city limits, 1 year. 2004, burglary, second degree, 5 years. And in 2012, aggravated assault, 6 months. The offender has 4 terms with ABC. CU and IR scores are a 43, mental health score of a 2, and substance abuse score of a 2. STGA information, inmate Ramos admitted at Phoenix Alhambra intake to being a member of the criminal street gang, Wetback Power, 18th Street. Prior terms of supervision, in 2003, TIS absconder for 114 days, revoked. 2009, TIS completion, 10 months. And in 2012, TIS tech violator and reached a CSED prior to seeing the VOEC. The offender has a significant disciplinary history. Other arrest in 1997, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 1999, assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 2000, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona juvenile probation. And also in 2000, burglary, second degree, Arizona felony conviction probation. His community risk level is a G7, V6.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. So, Mr. Ramos, we have a little case supervision summary, and I'm just going to look over that really quickly. It looks like you were released to go to TLC on 2202 East Roosevelt, but you tested positive when you got there for methamphetamines. What was going on with that, sir?
Well, I used at that time. It was more of the environment that I was in, you know what I mean? I made some real bad choices at the time, and like everything that led up to me being locked up. Well, I had the knife. The knife was more of a tool than anything, you know what I mean? And
Mr. Ramos, tell us about the methamphetamine use when you arrived at TLC.
When I arrived?
When you arrived, it looks like you tested positive on January 4th. My fault. What was going on then about with that methamphetamine use?
I was just around people and
did they give it to you, or did you get that methamphetamine?
I used that one time and I ended up coming up positive and then after that, like, I tried to get myself back on track and I continued working. I had a job and I just made a few bad choices.
Where were you working, sir?
Excuse me?
Where were you working?
At the time I was working at the Empire Metal Products.
Okay. And what did they do? What kind of work is that?
I was putting together AC, like the AC units and stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like good work. Where else did you work? Did you work other places?
After I had got discharged from the TLC, and I was put in re-rec.
Right.
I had difficulty getting to work, because I had to go through the re-rec stuff. You know what I mean? And I couldn't make it to work, so they told me not to bother coming back. But the same day that I had got fired, let go from the M. Empire. I had got a job the same day and that was at the American West College.
Oh, excellent. That's great. That's excellent. So you mentioned Vivre. So you were at Vivre, the self-paid program, but then you got transferred over to the behavior modification program. But you got discharged from there. What happened? Why'd you get discharged?
Okay. At Vivre, that day, I was asleep, and I wake up, and there was somebody else in the room. I had no idea that he was there. I didn't know what was going on. And they were saying that I was holding him there or helping him hide or something. I don't know what they accused. They accused me of... I don't even know that guy that was in there. You know what I mean? I was asleep. I woke up. The cops were there. And they told me to pack my stuff and to get out. And I was like, oh, man, I paid them that. I remember paying them that day. You know what I mean? I had barely started the classes at the...
So,
the Ramos, the BBC, I had barely started the classes. And
Mr. Ramos,
yeah.
You didn't do anything that you were aware of to cause yourself to be discharged?
At Vivre, no. Yeah, at Vivre, no. The night that they discharged me, I was asleep. There was a guy in there saying, they said that he was in there and that I was helping him hide or something like that. And that's why I got discharged from Vivre. And that's what led to my...
All right, so we also, on the same report, it shows your history with respect to your analysis and to go over the task. And it looks like there were a few occasions, looks like one in a couple of January, that were, they came back positive for amphetamines or methamphetamines. So were you using drugs regularly?
I used a few times, yes.
Okay. And but we were attending treatment, drug treatment? At Vivre?
At Vivre, yeah, I had barely started.
Oh, okay.
I had
just
barely
started.
Right before they kicked me out, I had barely started the BBC classes, and I had barely started, you know what I mean? And when they had kicked me out, that led to another relapse that I had.
Okay, so hold on just a minute, sir. I'm going to ask our community corrections officer if he has some information. Mr. Oliver, is there anything in the case notes about the discharge from Vivre? Mr. Ramos can't seem to remember why he was discharged or doesn't know why he was discharged.
We have an entry dated on February 20th, 2018 by Parole Officer Keontae Murray. February 17th, 2018, CCO Murray received an email from Ryan Sturgeon, Facilities Director of Vivre Recovery Housing, with a discharge letter attached. The letter read that the offender was discharged for failure to comply with Vivre policies and procedures assigned by individual, discovered to be hiding an unauthorized guest in his apartment unit, and interfering with a police investigation. See incident report for further details. And I believe attached to the warrant is the incident report, although I believe it's missing a page. The officer Murray should be here momentarily.
Okay.
With that additional information.
All right. Well, we'll talk about something else until. All right. Okay. So, Mr. Ramos.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Does anyone else have a question for Mr. Ramos?
I have one.
Okay, Mr. Quinones has a question for you, sir.
Yeah.
Mr. Ramos?
Yeah.
There's a report here from Vivre. Were you calling staff names and using foul language?
That wasn't me, no.
And that's my only question, thank you, ma'am.
Okay, sir. Yes, this does seem to be a different name.
Yeah, no, I had read the report too, and it said, I believe it said clearly that it was somebody else that was doing that.
Yes, was the edge, on the edge of the property. Yeah, I'm just not sure.
Copy's on.
Hoping that the parole officer can help us clear this out. Because it's a, this report that we're referring to has actually five different inmates named on it. And it appears to be an incident or something that involved more than one of them. But Mr. Ramos's name is on the page we have, his name is not specifically mentioned, which is the little puzzling part. Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman.
Why don't we have a recess, and since we're waiting on the officer to get here, why don't we just go ahead and do the wings while we're doing the recess?
Okay. So
I think we can't do the one peer review. I think we just turn it off and then we start it at two.
Okay, and number differently.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
All right. So, Mr. Ramos?
Yeah.
Your parole officer is on her way here now, but she's not here. And we'd like to have her testimony so we can understand what happened there at Vive. So what the board is going to do, we're going to ask you to just stay there. Should we call him back? Or?
Yeah, we'll call him back.
So what we'll do, we'll have you give the phone.
She's here.
She's here. Okay.
Okay.
You're not going to have to do this, Mr. Ramos, because your parole officer just arrived. So, Ms. Is it
Murray?
Murray?
Yes.
Could you please come up to the microphone, and I need to swear you in. So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Okay. So Mr. Ramos, your parole officer is here now, and we can ask her some questions about what happened. We're confused. We're looking at this document that involves the discharge from Libre, and Mr. Ramos is told us that he was asleep and he woke up and there was a strange man in his room, and then he was subsequently discharged from the property. So maybe you can shed some light on that for us, if you would, please.
So we have to use all the time. So I received a phone call from Ryan stating that they were discharging Mr. Ramos because of drugs that was found in the room that he was in. I did talk to Ramos, and he did say that he was asleep and didn't know what was going on at the time. But from the V-Ray staff point of view, or the information that I got from them, that he was aware of the situation and he was hiding the other offender in his room with his roommate, so that they both were hiding the one who had the drugs and stuff in the room, even though he knew that the guy was not supposed to be on property anymore.
Okay. Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
So, were you aware that, who was your roommate, sir? What was your roommate's name?
I remember he was a Native American. That's all I could really, and he was only there for like, I want to say like 2 days maybe. He had barely got there. Like, I didn't know. I didn't really talk to him. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I didn't know the guy. I really didn't. I just know that he was a Native American and that was it.
All right. And who was the man who was in your room? Do you know his name?
No, I just remember he was a black guy.
Okay. And you had not seen these, I mean, other than your roommate, you had not seen the intruder in your room? You had not seen him before?
Well, yeah, I had seen him before, but like...
Where had you seen him?
Well, he lived he was staying in an apartment, a couple apartments from the one I was in. But like, I never talked to him. He wasn't my friend or, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know like that.
Okay, and were you aware that there were drugs in your room?
No.
You were not aware there were drugs in your room. Okay, were you aware that...
I was never even told that drugs were even found in the room. I I really didn't know what was going on. I really wasn't asleep, but that's really what happened. I woke up, the cops were in the room, and I was getting told that I had to leave. And I begged them. I actually begged them to give me a chance, and I really begged them, man. But they didn't believe me, and I got discharged. I had to leave.
Okay, hold on just a minute, Mr. Ramos. I need to ask Officer Murray. Do you have any information about who was the roommate and who was...
I do know that the roommate, his original roommate was another inmate that was on, August Lantini, I believe, was one of them. And then... his roommate was, I mean, the guy who was found with the the drugs was
Arianas.
Arianas. So, I also know, like, Ramos had previous incidents also on V. Bray's property. So, this wasn't the first incident that caused his discharge from him. He's went AWOL before, been dirty a few times on V. Bray's property. So this, I guess, you could call this the last straw, pretty much, because he's had dirty UAs with them, didn't go to programs at times, went AWOL for almost 3 days, and then popped up dirty again for meth, stated that he was out with some girl, so he didn't even go where he originally claimed he went. And then I want to say like a week later, this incident happened.
Okay. So, Mr. Ramos?
Yeah.
Did you go AWOL for a few days from the facility?
Yes, and kind of no. Yes and no. Like, I had called them and notified them, and I was telling them I had came back a few times, but I had left again. You know what I mean?
But Mr. Ramos, were you supposed to be staying at that facility?
Yeah, I was.
Okay.
I made some mistakes, and, you know, and...
Understood.
And this is that was his second halfway, because he got discharged from the previous one as well.
Right.
So...
Okay, Ms. Omer, is there anything else that you want to tell the board before?
Do you guys got into his whole bringing the weapon to the parole office as well?
We didn't, but perhaps you can just tell us how what happened that day.
We're willing to work with him and send him to Maricopa Reentry Center pending the ITH program. In doing so, when they searched him, he had a blade with him that he stated that he brought to the halfway house to the parole office because he found it on the train and was keeping it for protection.
No. I had never said anything
Mr.
about
Ramos,
it.
Mr. Ramos, Ms. Murray is speaking right now.
I'm sorry.
When he was searched by the two transportation officers that was supposed to be transporting him to the Maricopa Reentry Center. And they found it on him. He said he was inside the parole office too, which we couldn't confirm because he cleared He cleared the scanner, went through, put all his belongings in the box, and then he went outside and waited for them to come. And then we did take pictures of the knife and added it in additional to his warrant.
All right, anything else you want to let the board know before?
He is very hot-tempered. We've had, the day he walked in to the parole office, he was already very angry because he couldn't go to family houses. And I tried to place on family, but he has a history of issues with a lot of people in his family, so I couldn't place him anywhere. But at the halfway houses, even after his first discharge, I tried to find somewhere, but because of his temper and being called out to family, and then his temper went as far as to other parole officers that's also in my office, issue's been brought up, and we've had this multiple discussions about it. And prior to this incident, I was at V-Ray, and I had to have a conversation with him about his attitude towards the V-Ray staff, too. So it was kind of like a hard case to handle when it comes to his behavior-wise.
Okay, any questions from other board members? No? Okay, thank you so much for coming today, Mr. Murray. Back to Mr. Ramos, and you wanted to explain something about, was it about the weapon, I believe?
Well, like, I really don't want to say, yes, it was a knife and everything, but like, I honestly found it, I kept it, and it was more of a tool than anything. You know what I mean? Like, it was honestly more of a tool than anything.
Okay, and Mr. Ramos, did you know you were not supposed to have that?
Actually, it just slipped. Like, I really didn't think of it as I don't know, it was so stupid of me. It was, I just didn't think. I wasn't thinking that I didn't think I was going to get in trouble. I didn't think, because it wasn't...
Okay, Mr.
Ryan. I didn't have it because I'm stabbing people. You know what I mean?
Okay, understood.
Okay, sir.
We're coming toward the end of your hearing. Yeah. I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Anything that you've not told the board before, is there anything else that you need to tell the board?
No. No, I really want to thank Ms. Murray for Murray. I thank you, man, for putting up with me. And I know I'm a little difficult at times, and I know you try to help me. And I just want to thank you.
All right, Mr. Ramos, thank you for your statement. The board is going to go into discussion, sir, and we do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So. We just ask you to stay on the phone, listen to the discussion, and remain silent, and we'll be right back with you, sir. Okay, the board is now in discussion. Mr. Ramos is an individual who seems to have difficulty with following rules of some of these residential facilities, which his officer, Murray, told us she placed him in those because he had difficulty living with family members. He was working, which is to his credit. He was working at two different places. However, he admits that he continued to use drugs while he was on community supervision. He does have one prior, he did not abscond on this sentence, but he has one prior term of community supervision where he absconded in 2003. And he also, in this particular case, had a blade with him, which he indicates he found, but he would not be not allowed to carry that weapon being on community supervision. I'm not seeing him as a good candidate for return to community supervision, but I'll listen to any input from our board members. Okay, then based on information in warrant number 2018W0489, our conversation with Mr. Ramos, information from Officer Murray, and information provided by Mr. Oliveri, Department of Corrections. I move to find Mr. Ramos delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company. Second.
Agreed.
Thank you. Okay, a motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
You heard the board's discussion and decision. The board has voted unanimously to revoke your community supervision, sir. You have a projected release date of May 30th of 2018, which is not that far in the future. So we urge you to take advantage of this time to get avoid the drugs, get sobered up, and make sure you've got a few months of sobriety before you come back out. And as of May 30th, when you're released, you will not have community supervision. You'll be on your own, and you can return to your jobs or whatever else you'd like to do, sir. We thank you for your participation in today's hearing. Thank you, Officer Murray. And this concludes your hearing, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.